Thank you, Francie, for the introduction. So good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining our Crop Energies call for financial year 2021. And thank you very much for your interest with us today. Typically, when we have our annual press conference, we do this physically. But this year, again, due to Corona, this was not feasible. It's regrettable. I would have preferred, and all of us would have preferred to meet you in person. But I hope that we can do this ASAP. So, but as if this would have been a physical meeting, I have my two board colleagues with me. So Jürgen Böttcher is here and Georg von Grevenitz. And so this is also a good opportunity for you to ask all your questions also in the field of technology or raw materials or markets or strategy or R&D in the Q&A sections. And my both two board colleagues will be happy to answer your questions later on. I hope that you all have received the presentation and have it in front of you so we can go by turning pages. If we could please start on page number 2, there you see the overview, what we want to discuss with you today. And as there is, you all have seen that there's an ongoing food versus fuel debate in the newspaper, so we have chosen to take this as a focus topic for this annual conference. So we will start with politics and markets and everything that is around this food versus fuel debate, because we from Crop Energies, we believe it's very important, or even at utmost importance, to have this here a fact-based discussion, and we want to contribute to that. Then we will tackle market developments as usual. We will have a point on production in the Crop Energies group. Then I will continue with the financials of financial year 2022-23. And as you will have seen, this is a very successful year. It's the third record year in a row. And today we confirm our preliminary figures that we have already announced. And we also confirm today our outlook that we have published for the year to come, this financial year 2022-23. And I will close with taxonomy and a strategy update, and then we can go into the Q&A section. So please go on to page number 4. Here we want to start with this current discussion that we have on biofuels. And the triggering event was the war in Ukraine. And there are concerns about global food situation due to the increased agricultural prices. And yes, indeed, if you have a look on the right-hand side on the graph, here you can see that all commodities, as does the oil price, have shown a significant price increase this year. So we have made the February 21 figure 200%. And you can see that within 1 year, that were, let's say, the corona effect, there has been an increase of 20 to 48% increase. So 20% for raw materials, 48% on crude oil. And then since the start of this horrible war, prices have gone up. Furthermore, significantly, the raw material prices and the oil crude oil prices now reaching a level of, let's say, 170% compared to Feb 21. And the first question that is posing here is whether biofuel demand is of a cause for this increase in prices. And in this context, it's very important to reflect on the Renewable Energy Progress Report that the European Commission has launched in 2020. That means before the war, and there was clearly shown, it has been proven, that there is no correlation, no correlation between biofuel demand and food prices. And if you look into statistics, then typically it's the oil price who is the triggering event for the raw material prices. But there is uncertainty about the Ukrainian grain harvest in the year 2022-23. So the assumption is a harvest of in the range of 45 to 75 million tons, so a broad range. So here's a clear, strong uncertainty. And this grain harvest 22-23 compares to prior year's harvest in the range of 87 million tons or 2021 in the range of 65 million tons. And then indeed, the Ukraine share is important when it comes to the world trade. So Ukraine is a, I don't know the English word, in German we call it Kornkammer. So it has an important impact on worldwide flow. So they have a share of 3% in the harvest of world grains. And when it comes to trading, they have a share of 10%. At the same time, we see that there is not, it is not an availability issue. So we see high prices. That's what you see on the bottom mid chart. You see that grain prices have reached levels of above €400 a ton. So this is unprecedented and a very high level. And we see in Ukraine high stocks, approximately 20 million tons. And due to logistical restrictions, it's difficult to get those raw materials out of the country. In this context, I think it's interesting. Those of you who have seen the Tagesschau German news yesterday evening, Deutsche Bahn and others have started to help Ukraine to get those quantities out of the country via railway. And this is very important that politicians continue all measures to help Ukrainian people to bring their harvest out of the country. So this is first snapshot on food supply. But it's important there are still exports from Ukraine. And what we can see so far is not a question of quantity in the different markets, but a question of prices. Please let's move on to the next page. And here we start then with the food versus fuel debate. And from our position, from CropEnergies' perspective, it's really important that we want to contribute to a fact-based discussion. We believe it makes no sense to have a symbolic politics, but politics need to be appropriate and fact-based and efficient. And we believe that we have to take into consideration all of those political fields who intervene at the same time with these complex questions, which is one, the food and feed supply. Second is the target of energy independence. Third is climate protection, and the fourth one is affordability of mobility. And I will go to those points later on in more details. And our ambition is to show here and to discuss with you that biofuels play an important role to have a good solution for those different fields of politics. So first thing is, that's how the slide starts, is that parts of the federal government are in favor of restrictions on biofuels. We believe that this discussion completely misses the point, but it is the sustainability of biofuels is partly questioned. We oppose heavily to this claim because every cubic meter that is sold in Europe has to be sustainable and it's certified, and there's no other activity that is so clearly managed by sustainability criteria like biofuels production. There are high agricultural prices and concerns about food security, but what is, from our point, not a good decision from Minister Özdemir not to release fallow land for grain cultivation. This has been done in other European countries, so the politics, from our point of view, is not stringent. And the other point that is important, at that point of time, there is no unified line in the federal government. So it's the criticism towards biofuels is pronounced by ministers Lemke, Schulz, and Özdemir. But on the other side, Wissing, the transport minister, clearly opposes to that, saying that this is not the unified line of the federal government. And he says restricting biofuels would endanger the climate goals of German government. So there's no unified line, and we claim both to Scholz and Habich or Lindner that there will be a stop of those discussions, and we believe there has to be a solid solution for this complex question. So we believe this discussion fell short. And what we want to show fact-based is that European ethanol contributes significantly to those policy fields, which are security of supply, the climate protection. We reduce the dependence on imports, both protein and crude oil. And we believe we have a significant contribution to make that mobility stays affordable. On the right-hand side, we start with some figures. So looking into Germany alone, biofuels blended into petrol helped to save 3.1 million tons of CO2 in the year 2020. And we helped to replace soy imports of 4 million tons in the same year. So this is very also important contribution. On the next page, which is called Fact Check Renewable Ethanol in Europe, here we want to show what the benefits of ethanol and what needs from our point of view need to be done. So the first point is that the ethanol is produced from non-food grains. This is really important. What we use is so-called C-wheat, C-weizen. There's also B-wheat, which is Brotweizen, which is then for bakery. But C-wheat is other wheat or feed grain, which has not the same quality and which is not meant to be for human nutrition. And what we also do, we increasingly use waste and residues for our ethanol production. Right now, we have reached a level of 10% of our production, which is waste and residue-based. Another point that is important that is sometimes not seen in politics, that we have a complete and waste-free use of agricultural raw materials. You see that on the right-hand graph. So we are here very transparent because we believe we have to contribute to that. And we can show that if we use 1 ton of grain, where we can produce 300 kilograms of renewable ethanol, which then goes into different markets, which is fuel predominantly, but also into pharma, perfumes, cosmetics, food and beverage and industries. Beverages is the ENA alcohol, which is rectified. But besides those 300 grams of ethanol, we produce 400 kilograms of protein, food and animal feed, which is from the region for the region, and which is local non-GMO and replaces soy imports. And this is important because those soy imports often come from Latin America and are then responsible sometimes also for deforestation. In this crisis time, we can also replace some of the sunflower meal from Ukraine. The third component is biogenic carbon dioxide, also in the amount of 300 kilograms. So what is important to note here that we use every raw material, there are no waste and everything is used. So it's an integrated production of food, feed, and biofuels. This next topic, which is very important in this discussion, is that blending biofuels into petrol helps with climate protection. So we can prove, and this is sustainably confirmed, that the ethanol that we produce has 75% less greenhouse gas emissions compared to fossil fuels. So it's the highest quality also for industrial customers and pharmaceutics, and it's the base material for renewable chemicals. As I've said, it's a co-production of protein-rich food and feed animal products, which are important, and also the biogenic high purity of CO2 is also very important. For the future, when we think about synthetic fuels, and it's already today as it is used in drinks and chemicals. So we believe as CropEnergies, biofuels are part of solution and which pays in significantly in the energy in the politic fields of energy independence, climate protection, the delivery of GMO-free protein-rich co-products and the affordability of mobility. And so we are completely against any political measures to reduce the blending of 1G ethanol from agricultural raw materials. On the next slide, the fact sheet continues. What about the other benefits of ethanol? So it's more than just a fuel. And I would like to start on the right-hand side with the graph. So we are very transparent, showing the raw material intake of our factory or plant in Zeitz. Yeah, but it's important because we have seen in a lot of political discussions that there is not enough knowledge when it comes to what really the biofuels industry is doing. So we want to contribute here with those information to have a transparent and fact-based debate. So let's look at the figures of Zeitz. Here you can see that when it comes to the raw materials, our site is very flexible when it comes to the raw material intake. So we take in, to a low extent, sugar syrups. We take in 32% of non-food wheat, which is C quality, 32%. We take 16% of feed maize, 10% of feed barley, and even 42% are already starch containing from industrial residues. So it's very aqueous, so very liquid, but it shows that we have different kind of raw materials which are not used for human nutrition. Products that we produce in Zeitz, almost half of it, that means 47% are dried animal feed. Yeah, you can add to that the 4% of liquid animal feed, that there you can see that half of it goes to animal feed. Then we produce biogenic CO2 in the amount of 11%, neutral alcohol 6%, and only 32% is fuel ethanol. So it's a combined production with different kind of raw materials. But 100% is certified sustainable. It's from the region, it's for the region. And when it comes to the quantities, because the political aim is to ease the price situations and of grains, yeah. Here we can show that we only use 4% of the EU grain harvest, yeah, in the European ethanol production. And this corresponds arithmetically to only 2% of the EU agricultural area. And what is important, there's three more fallow land. That means land that is not used. This would be available in the European Union. And Europe remains to be a strong importer of wheat. So in a nutshell, it is 70% greenhouse gas savings. So 2.5 kilograms CO2 can be saved by using biofuels in blending. In total, it's 18 million barrels of oil that we have replaced. And the greenhouse gas savings is 10 million tons of CO2. So this is very important to know that ethanol contributes to those political fields. And there's also the EU Commission confirms that the ethanol used in the EU has no significant influence on agricultural prices and has no increased risk of land use change. And all of those arguments, they have to be taken into consideration for politicians to when they base their decisions upon. That was our fact-based contribution to this food versus fuel debate. And I would like to have on the next page, it's page number 8, a short update what is going on in the European Union. We have discussed with you last time and all over also during the quarters that the European Commission has launched the Fit for 55 package in July last year with the ambition to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 55%. So there's a revision ongoing on the Renewable Energy Directive. It is called then RED III. So it's the revision of RED II. And the main points here in the proposal of the European Commission is to have a greenhouse gas reduction target of 13% by 2030, which replaced the energy quota of 14% in RED II and 10% from memory in RED I. When it comes to the biofuels share from arable crops, the EU Commission has proposed to take each member state the share of 2020 plus 1%, but in a limit of 7%. They have taken away all the multiples. That is positive. And our assessment in general is that we believe that's a good starting point, but we need higher greenhouse gas reduction targets. So we believe the 13% is not high enough to have a more significant contribution to climate protection. And we are not alone with this claim. For example, ACEA, the European Automotive Industry Association, they claim for 40% reduction target. From our side, we have the claim that there shall not be a one-sided focus on e-mobility. We claim for technical neutrality, and this goes hand in hand with our claim that there should be a life cycle analysis when comparing the different technologies. This means that from our point of view, an electronic or battery electric car is not per definition a zero emission car, because you have to take into consideration the energy mix and also the emission content of the, for example, the battery production. So all, when comparing technologies, we have to take a life cycle analysis, which gives a fair comparison for all the technologies, and we believe that biofuels have a strong point in here. So what is the status and the next steps right now? For sure, the food versus fuel debate in Germany also is ongoing in Europe. We believe that's not fully objective, and with our fact sheets and also from the associations, we want to contribute to here to a more fact-based discussion. We believe that it is assumed that the plenary vote in the parliament is expected for September 22. And then the trilogue starts between Parliament, Council, and Commission as of autumn 22. Let's have a look into the markets. This goes on at page number 10. Maybe let's start with the graph. There you can see it with one side. Let's start maybe in the year 2020. That was the Corona year. And here you can see that there has been in 2020 a significant decrease in fuel consumption, but this in 21, with Corona being relieved, this increased, and for 22, there's quite a stable market environment to be expected. We believe, while it's IHS markets with those assumptions, it is assumed from market participants that the sales, ethanol sales, the consumption shall be in the area of 8.7 cubic meters. When it comes to E10, the success story continues. E10 is in many European countries the number one blend for gasoline. We had in last year the successful introduction of E10 in Sweden and UK. Next to come is Northern Ireland. Yeah, it is a small country, but nevertheless, for us, it's important that the success story continues. And even if you have a look on Germany, I know many of you follow us since years. And in 6-7 years ago, you have always seen here numbers like 11, 12, 13%. And you can see that we almost doubled. Yeah, it's still with 20%. Germany is lagging behind, but we are happy with this trend, seeing a much better market share of E10 in Germany. I look to my colleague Georg to be continued. When it comes to the prices, we always discuss with you the volatility of prices, so this is still the case. And even stronger when we look in last financial year, 21-22, it's the dark black line on the right-hand side. You can see that there still was a very strong volatility. We have seen a new all-time high of 1,519 euros per cubic meter in November 21. The average price in the financial year was 812. That was also the market price observed. Here you can see really that there was a strong volatility and difference between low prices and high prices. But this positive market trend helped us to have this very successful financial year, which I will comment later on. When it comes to Corona, we believe there will be a normalization in fuel consumption after the decline in the Corona year, but we see also a strong price increase since February, triggered by the war in Ukraine. When it comes to the grain prices, we see here also a very strong increase over the year. So the average grain prices in the financial year 21-22 were at 249 euros per ton compared to 199 in the previous year. And also with the beginning of this horrible war, we see very strong grain prices reaching the levels of over 400 euros per ton. Nevertheless, the world's harvests are expected to grow. With rising stocks, this could give some relief, but at the moment the news from Ukraine are predominant, leading to those very high grain prices we see since the beginning of this new financial year. When it comes to energy prices, for us the gas prices are very important, and again here we've seen very strong volatility. And since the beginning of the war, there are high uncertainties due to the Russian invasion and the sanctions. There has been established, you are aware, a system with two accounts, given the fact that the Russians claim for payment in rubles, which is not in line with the contract. So there's a two-account solution in place, which works for the moment, but to be continued. So European or Western countries continue to pay in euros or dollars, which are then converted into a ruble. But there's a strong uncertainty about gas availability and gas prices. But in the last days, we have seen that still the green line, we have seen a certain downward trend to be followed up closely. When it comes to production, we go to page number 14. Happy to see that ethanol production has increased, 6.5% plus compared to previous year, reaching 1.05 million cubic meters. At the same time, as it is a couple production, we have an increase in production of food and animal feed. We also could increase the volume of liquefied CO2 produced and had a successful commissioning of the CO2 liquefaction plant in Vars, which is operated by our and managed by our partner, SOLE. On the right-hand side, you see the graph, because also to contribute to the politics discussions, we want to show more clearly this biorefinery concept. So this graph is taken out of our annual report, which I hope that you have also seen. And with this graph, we want to show or give more transparency really in what we do, so that also the intake on the raw material side are feed grains, not conceived for human nutrition. We take in residues and sugar syrups, and this is in our biorefinery, then produced to all different kind of products, which are in the field of proteins, fuel, ethanol, no neutral alcohol, biogenic CO2, fertilizer, and green energy. And we want to focus on that very clearly, importantly, because sometimes politicians or the political debate goes in the field that 1G might be bad and 1G is good, but we have to claim clearly that 1G and 2G go together. They go hand in hand. 2G needs 1G, and politics cannot choose some kind of cherry-picking and just saying not wanting 1G and only focusing on 2G. This goes hand in hand, else politicians destroy investor confidence. Come to the financials. Page number 16 on the financial year 2021-22. So you can see here very positive figures. It's the third record year in a row, and we are very happy about that. We are very happy about the increase in production, as I just stated, plus 6.5%. And with the good prices on ethanol that we have seen, we could, for the first time in our history, beat the 1 billion in turnover. So it's just a figure, you could say, but nevertheless, for us, it's important, given the fact that CropEnergies is quite a young company. The IPO was in the years 2005-2006. So we started at that point of time with zero, and in the meantime, we have managed together as a team to reach here a revenue of 1 billion, and as a CropEnergies team, we are very proud upon that. When it comes to the financial result figures, you can see that operating profit reaches 127 million euro. This is a new record figure, so we're also very happy about that. And thirdly, we're also very happy about our net financial assets position, 230 million euros. And we believe this is, as we have said in the previous calls, this is a strong basis for us for realizing our strategy projects, which go on very well, and we will discuss that later on. On page number 17, you can find the revenues and production figures. So ethanol production increased by 6.5%, revenues then reaching 1.08 billions of turnover. Sometimes it's difficult if you do all this in English. Sorry for that. Capacity utilization in volatile markets was improved, and given also the higher sale prices for our products, we reached this very good revenue figure, which you can see also on the graph. On the next page, we have a look on EBITDA. I will start with the cost of materials. You can see that cost of materials also increased significantly, reaching 841 million euro. So this strong increase in cost of materials is due to the fact to the higher production, but also to the higher raw material prices, which are in the field also both in energy prices and in grain prices. But all in all, given the very good ethanol prices, we managed to reach an EBITDA of 169 million euro. Coming to the income statement, so below the operating profit, you can find the financial result, which is 3 million negative. This is due to unrealized currency effects from the British pound, and the tax rate increased to 28% due to carry forward losses not being used, and thus we ended up in this financial year with 98.4 million euros in net earnings. On the next slide, you can find an overview of the cash flow, which was also very strong following the strong development in the EBITDA. So this year, we managed to have a cash flow of 130 million euro. You can see at the top of the table and on the right-hand side in the graph. Important to note that investments in PPE also increased to 36 million euro. This is, for example, the biomass boiler in Boyers, but I will come later on to the investments. And all in all, we ended up with a net financial position of 230 million euro, which you can see on the right-hand bottom side of the graph. Balance sheet, not too many difference to the quarterly results that we have already presented. So the total assets go up by 240 million, reaching 983 million euros. We still have a very strong balance sheet with an equity ratio of 71% and a total equity of almost 700 million euros. So and also return on capital employed was very positive, reaching 25.8%. Let's come to the dividend. Yeah, our dividend proposal that we have discussed as a board together with the supervisory board. And this year's proposal is at 0.45 per share. As every year, when or before, well, when doing the dividend proposal, we take into consideration different topics. So one is the yearly result, the earnings per share. We look into the financial position. We also have a look in the forecast for the following year. That means that I will do later on. We try to have, or our aim is to have an attractive dividend yield, and typically, we aim for a payout ratio in the area of 30%-40%. And so we believe, taking into account all of these considerations, 0.45 is a good dividend proposal reflecting all stakeholders' interests. Let's have a look into the outlook, 2022-2023. So this outlook, we have communicated for the first time in an MIR release on 14th of April, and we have confirmed it in our annual report, and we do so confirm it today. So, what are the assumptions behind our outlook for this financial year? It's clear there are risks. Yeah, the impact of the Ukraine war on sales, energy, and raw material markets is difficult to assess. But nevertheless, we have taken our base case, the assumption that there will be sufficient energy and raw materials available for the production. So we assume to produce fully our production plan that we have given to us. That's the first point. The second point is that we believe that the EU member states will essentially maintain their blending targets for biofuel. So even if we have right now this food versus fuel debate, we believe that there are very strong arguments in favor of biofuels, which I tried to show to you and to explain to you at the beginning of this presentations. And we believe those very good arguments for ethanol will pay in. And we also believe that climate protection is so important that even in such a crisis, which this war clearly is, we believe that the member states will maintain their blending targets. And the third assumption is also that the high raw material and energy prices will be compensated also by higher ethanol prices. Or in other words, we have seen over the last 1 month and weeks a strong correlation between raw material, energy, and ethanol prices, and we assume that this correlation is to be continued. So all in all, we believe on our outlook, which is revenues then in a range between 1.35 and 1.35 billion euros, EBITDA in a range of 145 to 195 million euro, which corresponds then to an operating profit between 105 and 155 million euro. This is our outlook. Then I have two more topics before we go into the Q&A section. One is on taxonomy. Why we have chosen taxonomy to discuss with you is it's linked to the new legislation for taxonomy, and we are very happy with the results. So as CropEnergies, we can show that 75 of our turnover is taxonomy conform turnover for our ethanol production, 1G and 2G. 64% of our CAPEX and 51% of our OPEX are taxonomy conform for the two objectives which have already given, which are climate protection and adaptation to climate change. So we are very happy about this result, and we take this as a proof of the sustainability of our business model. Last but not least, strategy update. We start with that on page 27. The new strategy we have communicated to you and the markets on our last annual press conference and the last annual shareholders meeting. One part of this strategy is to become climate neutral in 2045. We have already ongoing investments in towards this ambitious target. One is the biomass boiler in Wanze. Here the construction is on schedule. This goes on very well. We have planned for Zeitz conversion to low carbon CO2 and renewable energy sources. This is planned in Zeitz. When it comes to our UK plant in Wilton, we aim to reduce steam consumption with the optimization of the existing evaporation installation. So this is an investment in the field of increase of energy efficiency, which is also very important. When it comes to our French plant in Lune-Plage, here we aim for 75% of the steam requirements to come from a waste heat from a neighboring industrial plant, which is important and helps us to become more climate friendly. And there's an overall modernization of the existing energy supply ongoing in Lune-Plage. So all in all, you can see here our target, which is ambition. We aim to reduce our CO2 emissions by 50% until 2013 and to become climate neutral in 2045. Last slide before we come to the Q&A section is an update on our strategy, but which is unchanged. We communicated this strategy, new strategy, last year, and I can confirm that our projects go on very well and are on track. We are committed to 1G ethanol, and we prepare at the same time the future. So our pillar for the strategy is, as already communicated, on four pillars. One is our core business of mobility with sustainable and climate-friendly fuels. So this is first and second generation ethanol. They go hand in hand. We want to develop a new business area based on ethanol derivatives as an alternative to fossil raw materials. That's the project of ethylacetate that we have already communicated in January. So here the basic engineering is going on very well, and we aim to have the results of this study soon to take then a final investment decision in summer this year. Third pillar is biogenic CO2. We believe that biogenic CO2 will be a key element for future defossilization of, for example, chemistry and transport, with the field of this can be bio-based and chemicals and or synthetic fuels. And we will continue together with the Südzucker daughter company, our sister company, Beneo, to develop protein-rich products and to market them, because there's a strong need for protein products. So thank you very much for your interest so far. We can now come to the Q&A section. As I said, my two dear board members are with me to help me and to assist on your questions. Thank you very much so far.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. To withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you're using a speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. There are no questions so far. We have one. The first question is from Michael Schaefer from ODDO BHF. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for taking my several questions. Maybe to start with, Ms. Semeda, I fully understood basically the facts you presented at the very beginning slides of the presentation. However, I mean, politics is politics. And can you just basically put us basically into perspective what is in discussion currently? What the Lemke Ministry has presented as a draft, let's say, what would this mean for your operation and maybe also for the, let's say, for biofuels production in Germany in general, and I would be also interested basically on potential mitigating measures from your side. So what can you do in case we see a change in legislation, which would not be the first time that we have seen a change in legislation, so the older ones may recall 2005 when we have seen all of a sudden a significant sea change in biodiesel legislation. So this would be my first question, and probably I'll ask them one by one because the complexity of the nature here. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer, for your question. Yes, indeed. What is interesting, what we've seen from those three ministers is just press articulation. So we do not have a concrete or do not know what they read. It is the political defined measures behind. So what has been published today by the VDB is the assumption or the point that obviously, but I cannot confirm it in detail, obviously, the Lemke Ministry, Environment Minister, aims to reduce the crop cap. Yeah, so under discussion, but it's only on press releases, so there could be a decrease in the crop cap. If this would come to legislation, I think I'm not a legal expert, but this is a little bit complicated because it could be done with the Bundesemissionsschutzverordnung. But the question is then what to do with the greenhouse gas savings reduction target for the mineral oil companies. And if this would be to be reduced, then we need a legislative process which can take several months. And if this would be the case, but it's really speculation from my side, then this would mean that climate protection would be given up. Without blending biofuels, it's impossible to reach the climate goals out of the Klimaschutzgesetz and the TAG reduction target legislation. So it's for me really unclear as of today what will really come or if this will be stopped. This is really unclear, and as I said, with the argument that we fully opposed to any reduction of the. The second part of your question would be what are the mitigation actions? So one is, but maybe Georg, you can say that Germany is an important market for us, but it's not the only one, yeah. But Georg.
Yes, on the market effects, maybe two comments before. If you look at the three big fuel markets in Europe, that is Germany, France, and UK, Germany is sort of the bit of the exception because Stefan Meder pointed out that we had the E10 introduction in UK. If you look at the numbers of 21 in France, we have quite a steep increase in ethanol demand, especially by E85, but also at the E10. And that's one remark. And the other one is that ethanol is needed to keep the specification in gasoline. So it needs to be blended to maintain the specifications, which is, by the way, not the case in diesel. You can maintain the diesel specifications without a bioblend. What will I be expecting from a decrease in crop cap in Germany? Would be the immediate effect would, of course, be a drop in prices. The short and medium term effect would be a decrease in imports. By the way, E10 in UK is mainly served by imports. And the mitigation measures, as already mentioned, is of course our ethylacetate. And at the end of the day, you look at our strategy, which has just been presented. There are many projects in this direction which have a mitigating effect. But from a market point of view, there will be a short-term effect. But at the end of the day, we will see also decreased imports, especially because other countries like US, importantly, the most important importer, they have an E15 program launched. They are on a completely different route as Germany currently is, or at least part of the government.
Part of the government, yeah. It's important to state once more that it's not a unified government position. Yeah, it's just three ministers worth enough, but so far there is not a clear government point on that.
Mm-hmm. Can I just follow up on this one in terms of mitigating measures? On slide 7, you have there an asterisk saying that sugar syrups accounted for 1% of the total inputs at size and the starch containing industrial residues you put the 42% on it. And in your opening remarks, you also refer to a 10% share of waste and residue based inputs. Obviously, this is at group level, but this is here now at sites. So just thinking loud here, I mean, if there is a reduction in the crop cap, could there one mitigating measure basically to produce ethanol based out of or increasing the share basically of those alternatives? Is this technically feasible? Obviously, you are losing then all the hedging via the DGS and anything. But so just as a kind of, let's say, operational measures you may put in just to comply with whatever comes as a kind of crop cap reduction plan from out of Germany.
Yeah, in principle, you are right. So one strength of our plants is this raw material flexibility that we have. But I would hand over this question to Jürgen.
Yeah, thank you very much. Is it technically feasible? It's not feasible one by one in the existing plant. So that means to produce biofuels out of, for instance, lignocellulosic materials, you need a complete different first step to hydrolyze this material. So this you cannot do in a normal biorefinery. You need a special technology. We are observing since more than 10 years the market for these technologies, and we are in really close discussions with technology providers, which have now maybe the technology ready to build for industrial applications. So that means for refineries with a volume of 50 to 60,000 cubic meters. But this is something you cannot add simply to the existing biorefinery. You have to build close to the existing or in greenfield new biorefineries. And this is also not a cheap measure because you need the investments to do this. And what we are doing right now, you have seen this in the graphs, that we are introducing liquid residues already in our existing biorefineries. This is simply possible. You can use these liquid starch residues. We are using also grape marc residues in our refinery. We are using beer residues. So these liquid residues you can introduce in the existing biorefineries, lignocellulosic material. You have to build completely new refineries. And in Europe, you don't find these refineries right now.
Okay, understood. And Jim, maybe one final question on this topic here. According to today's press, basically they're suggesting that there is a THG or greenhouse gas quota reduction planned basically next year already down to 2.5% from 4.4%. So the cap is reduced into 2.5%. What would this mean in terms of let's say, required volumes by the industry and the drop year over year on requirements if this turns legislation in terms of volume?
Yeah, I mean, to answer this question, I base myself on what has been communicated today by the VDP. Yeah, then you see that indeed that there might, but it's really a hypothesis. Yeah, there might be a reduction or the ambition from the Green Minister to reduce from 4.4% to 2.5%. So this would be then a reduction of accountability of agricultural feedstocks for ethanol production, targeting the mineral companies. So what be if at the same time the greenhouse gas reduction target would be decreased, it would mean that there's less blending. So, but I honestly I do not believe in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of reduced market size in Germany, I mean, you said earlier that Germany is one market, and looking at your annual report, roughly 22% of your sales last year was dedicated to Germany. So I take it probably that this is a reflection also of the volume you shipped into German customers, while the remainder comes from other countries. So yes, it's an important market. It's not not a decisive one, not a dominating one. But nevertheless, give us a feeling on what this would mean in terms of market size. So should we take it one by one, basically? So virtually almost a halving of the market next year?
I mean, the crop cap will apply to not only to ethanol, but also to biodiesel. So I can't really say where we will be seeing less volumes more in which sector. But as I said, ethanol is needed to keep up the specification of the gasoline. Yeah. Firstly, and secondly, as you can also see from the numbers, and now this is crop energy specific, our most important market is the non-German market.
Okay, understood. Coming back to more operational questions on your energy hedging. I mean, I didn't find a number yet in the annual report, but I assume that you still consume something like 3 terawatt hours of gas annually, split across the two regions, basically. So how should we think about your energy cost bill heading into the next fiscal year? So what have you baked in there?
We have, may I answer? So that means we have a continuous hedging strategy on energy prices. So that means, for instance, gas. We have a significant ratio hedged already for this business year. Close to 80% of our gas demand is ready and hedged. And at the moment, we observe the market and we see the price development in the last, let's see, 4 weeks, a decreasing gas price. So that means we are closely observing the market and we take the measures to secure our gas supply for this business year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the final question, and then go back in queue, basically. On your new project, Mr. Miller, you mentioned that you are ready for either go or not go in summer. So if the feasibility study or if the let's say the in-depth feasibility goes in your direction, and also what we have just learned over the past couple of weeks from Germany, so is there a way, or would you consider maybe doubling the this kind of outlet just to have more feet on the ground, basically standing firmer than just relying on a single market? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we are very optimistic about ethylacetate. So far the study is going on very well. We believe there's a strong market, and if this project turns out to be successful once, it is clear that is something that could be copied and needed also in other plants, given the high need for green base chemicals. Yeah, it's a clear, if it works once, we would examine to do this in other plants too.
Mm-hmm. That's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. There's one just came in. The next question would be from Thomas Schließle. Sorry for the wrong pronunciation. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for taking my question. By the way, the name had been pronounced very correctly. Thank you. But back to my question. It's, of course, of the utmost importance of the political issue. What will be your answer on a crop cap if it comes to your investment decisions in Germany and in the EU? This is the question.
It's a good question. If you just would follow your stomach, you would say, this political scene is not stable. There is in and out and up and down. So the political framework is far from being very good from an investor's point of view. Yeah, this is clear. But I wouldn't go so far that I say if there is a negative point on the crop cap that we would say we stop all investments in Germany. I don't think that we would take such a measure because nevertheless, it's a big market. It's a strong market. It's our home market. I believe that whatever the political discussions can be in one part of the year, it could be different in other part of the year. I have more a long-term view on that, and the long-term view is clearly is climate protection. We have to stick to the 2% degree goal, and for doing that we will need more biomass, because it in this political discussion what falls often short is that people think about decarbonization, but to be honest or to be clear, it's about defossilization. We have to leave fossil raw materials in the ground, and whatever the discussions are on this horrible war, this war will be over hopefully soon, and then we have to refocus on climate protection, which is the key topic for the decade to come. And you can only defossilize, for example, when I look into chemistry, it is via recycling or via biomass, because we all need carbons. We need carbohydrates, and if not fossil, they can only be else from recycling, but that's not our business. Then if not recycling or addition to recycling, it's from biomass. So that means even if there is a reduction, which I do not believe in crop cap, there will be a positive trend for the entire business model in when it comes to what our claim is, innovation from biomass. And this is true in Germany, and this is true in Europe, and this is also true outside Europe.
Yeah, I do agree, but if the crop cap will materialize, you will earn less cash, less profit out of your existing business, and you have less less cash to invest in new ones. So
Nevertheless, I would say we cross the bridge when we come to it. We first have to see whether there will be or not a clear unilateral position of the German government, whether this legal procedure will achieve a point or not, and then we will look into the situation and take our decisions. At this point of time today, I'm not in the position to answer. So our focus right now is to contribute to a fact-based discussion, and we do all our best to that a crop cap will not occur. And if not, we will look new into the situation. But for the time being, our focus is on defending our interest and claiming that a crop cap is not an appropriate measure, given all the political fields that I have mentioned, which are climate protection, energy interdependence, and so on.
Okay.
It's too early to say.
That's okay. So what will be the next steps you will take? Will you slash a communication campaign at national TV to make your...
We work very closely together with the associations, and the political debate is ongoing. We contribute via fact-based information on the advantages of biofuels, and that is what we will continue to do. We are open also for all, maybe if some politicians listen to us today, We are also open to invite them into our plants and to show this biorefinery concept and the sustainability of our business model. Whatever we can do to give more information, transparent information, fact-based information, we will do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another question on current business. What is the current current business doing? What is the perspectives in the current month?
Yeah, as we have said in our MAR announcement for Q1, we are very optimistic, and so far the start of the business year has been very successful.
Okay, thank you so far. Good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Schiesler.